Houston, we may have a new neighbor. A TSA agent is among those caught in a kiddie porn net. And if it was good enough for Fred and Ginger in 1933, flying down to Rio is an even better idea in 2012. This is Aero News for Thursday, April the 12th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA is preparing an Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, to analyze the potential environmental impact of SpaceX's proposal to launch orbital and suborbital vehicles from a private site in Cameron County in southern Texas. The EIS will consider the potential environmental impacts of the proposed action and reasonable alternatives, including a no-action alternative. The successful completion of the environmental review process does not guarantee that the FAA would issue launch licenses and/or experimental permits to SpaceX. The project must also meet all FAA safety, risk, and indemnification requirements. Cameron County is at the southernmost tip of Texas, some 300 miles south of Houston, and includes the popular resort area of South Padre Island and the city of Harlingen, former headquarters of the Commemorative Air Force. TSA agent Jose E. Salgado, 59, of Chelsea, Massachusetts, was suspended from his job after his employers learned that local law enforcement agencies are pursuing criminal charges against him for the possession and sharing of pornographic images of children. Salgado was one of 55 Massachusetts men caught up in a sweeping multi-agency pornography crackdown. TSA spokeswoman Ann Davis said, quote, TSA has been cooperating fully with our law enforcement partners during the investigation into this matter. Upon learning of these charges, TSA took immediate action, and the individual is not working at the airport, end quote. Periodic arrests of TSA agents on sex charges across the nation have fueled criticism of the agency's screening of its own employees, who are tasked with patting down the traveling public and keeping the airways safe. At least two other TSA officers assigned to Logan have faced sex charges in the past 2 years. Sex charges have also been brought against others in Virginia, New Hampshire, Nevada, Georgia, and other states. Not everyone in Virginia Beach is singing anchors away in the wake of last week's crash of a U.S. Navy FA-18. The Internet is becoming a clearinghouse of stories from residents of the Mayfair Mews apartments who are dissatisfied with the Navy's compensation for their losses. A 21-year-old woman who lived in the apartment complex wrote that her brother had been in his bedroom playing Guitar Hero and had gotten up to put in his contacts just before the jet hit. He looked out of the bathroom to see the bedroom he'd just been in moments before in flames. She says the Navy has given them $89 per day for lodging and $30 for food while they sort out the mess and find alternate living accommodations. She also said the clothing allowance was just $200 for those who had lost everything. Another online story relates the experiences of the man who actually cut the pilot down from his parachute harness and got him to the hospital. Colby Smith says that the Navy made arrangements for he and his family to stay in a nearby hotel, but he was evicted the next day because the Navy refused to pay the bill. He claims an out-of-pocket expense of about $400. Smith must have either a large family or perhaps the hotel room had a fully stocked minibar. To be fair, the Navy met with residents the day after the crash to explain the available resources and start the compensation process. The initial payments are for immediate needs, such as housing, meals, and clothing, and begin at $2,300 for an individual resident and increases for additional family members. Two F-15 fighters, under the direction of NORAD, intercepted a Korean Airlines Boeing 777 Wednesday, shortly after its departure from Vancouver, British Columbia. The two fighters were scrambled out of Portland, Oregon. The Korean airliner was intercepted, diverted, and the aircraft was shattered until it landed at a Canadian forces base approximately an hour and a half later. Korean Air spokeswoman Penny Failzer said that the 777 was the target of a bomb threat phoned in to the carrier's Los Angeles call center about 25 minutes after the plane departed Vancouver. There were 134 passengers and 12 crew on board the flight headed for Seoul, South Korea. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police are joining the investigation. Bombardier Aerospace has taken the next step in support of its growing activities in China with the inauguration of a new office in Shanghai. The ribbon cutting occurred on Monday. The Shanghai office will also be home to the Bombardier commercial aircraft teams working with the Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, or COMAC. Bombardier Aerospace's supply chain organization in China, and is the headquarters of the Bombardier Commercial Aircraft Sales and Marketing Team for China and North Asia. The Shanghai Regional Support Office Team, supporting Q-Series and CRJ aircraft operators, will also be based at this new office and will expand to include support personnel for Bombardier's Learjet, Challenger, and Global Business Jet operators. Bombardier predicts a demand of almost 2,400 commercial aircraft in the 60 to 149-seat segment in China over the next 20 years, making China the world's second-largest market for new aircraft deliveries, following closely behind the United States. In other industry developments, Gulfstream Aerospace recently named Thomas Tom Huff, a retired U.S. Navy test pilot with more than 25 years of experience, to serve in the newly created position of Aviation Safety Officer. Huff reports to Larry Flynn, president of Gulfstream. In his new role, Huff oversees a comprehensive aviation safety program for all Gulfstream flight operations, including experimental test, production test, demonstration, and corporate flights. He provides independent safety oversight and promotes aviation safety and awareness throughout the company. Huff comes to Gulfstream from Naval Test Wing Atlantic in Patuxent River, Maryland, where he served as the commander. And Boeing said Wednesday it has made a series of design updates to the 737 MAX to further optimize the new engine variant's performance. Changes include an extended tail cone, a new engine pylon and wing strut, and flight control and system updates. When Aero News continues, Team RV will make its first Oshkosh appearance later this summer. Some $50,000 in scholarships will support vertical flight. And Wings of Tropical Splendor are coming to Miami and Rio.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, April 12th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Team RV, the world's largest air show team that combines precision formation flying and formation aerobatics, makes its first Oshkosh appearance in 2012 when it flies during EAA's Air Venture later this summer. During their performances at Oshkosh, Team RV members will fly the RV aircraft from Vans Aircraft. These kit aircraft are the most popular amateur-built aircraft in the world, with more than 7,000 of them currently flying. As the RV aircraft are built by individuals, no two are exactly alike, and the multitude of paint schemes creates unmatched color swaths across the sky. Team RV consists of 12 aircraft that are capable of speeds in excess of 200 miles per hour and gravitational forces of up to 6 Gs. The team flies tight formations of recognizable shapes and carries out difficult rejoins at show center. Its four-ship aerobatic wing integrates diamond loops, cubinates, line-abreast hammerheads, barrel rolls, and more. The team headlines at national air shows throughout the eastern U.S. and has opened for the Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, and the Snowbirds. The Vertical Flight Technical Society, established in 1967 as the philanthropic arm of the American Helicopter Society, has announced a total of $50,000 in scholarships to be awarded to 19 individuals. The American Helicopter Society International is the world's premier vertical flight technical society. Since its inception in 1943, AHS has been a major force in the advancement of vertical flight. The society is the global resource for information on vertical flight technology. It provides global leadership for scientific, technical, educational, and legislative initiatives that advance the state-of-the-art of vertical flight. The 19 lucky individuals will be honored on May 2nd at the 68th AAH Annual Forum in Fort Worth, Texas. In the 1933 RKO musical Flying Down to Rio, orchestra leader Roger Bond and his band, the Yankee Clippers, are in trouble with the law because the Hotel Atlantico, which they're about to open, doesn't have an entertainment license. Not to be deterred, Bond, spying a plane flying overhead, stages a dramatic floor show, complete with dancing girls strapped to the wings of an airplane, and saves the day. This film is famous for its first on-screen pairing of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. The point of all this? Well, none, really. Except it's a great lead-in to news that the U.S. and Brazil, now almost 80 years later, have signed an aviation partnership. A memorandum of understanding establishing a partnership was signed by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and a host of other dignitaries from the two countries. Initially, six companies that have yet to be selected will participate in the partnership alongside the supporting U.S. and Brazilian government agencies. In June of this year, as the first official activities under the partnership, the USTDA, or U.S. Trade Development Administration, will host a delegation of Brazilian aviation officials on a reverse trade mission to the United States to familiarize them with U.S. technologies, best practices, and regulatory approaches for airports modernization. In October, the USTDA will host a Latin American Aviation Summit in Miami to introduce hundreds of U.S. aviation company representatives to aviation officials from countries across Latin America, including Brazil. Well, I think I hear the band about to strike up Begin the Beguine. That's our cue to clear the dance floor. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer, and you're now cleared for departure.